Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 30th, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and at branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an app for an Android. So you listen up. And I plan to ask each one of you, well, I'm asking each one of you, to challenge two or three other people to listen to this program and enjoy them on your smartphones, because I understand that at least 50% of the people that are listening listen on smartphones instead of traditional radio. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that Radio Night goes according to your will and not my will. And I pray that we get answers to questions that a lot of us have been asking for many years, Father. So I pray this program gives us answers tonight and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Alec Newman. He is an international journalist, educator, author, and consultant. In addition to serving as the president of a small media and information consulting firm, Liberty Sentinel Media Incorporated, he writes for a wide array of publications in the United States and abroad. He currently serves as a foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine and a contributor to WorldNet Daily and much more. His newest book, Crimes of the Educators, has been just released by WorldNet Daily Books. For the last 4 years, Alex has been teaching advanced economics to high school seniors through the Freedom Project Education, an accredited K-12 school offering classical education based on what? Judeo-Christian values. Yay. In fact, when we're talking about the left, in fact, the left have even quoted what Hitler said, "Give me a child when he's seven and he's mine forever," to underscore the need for early childhood education. Well, this is a real serious thing, and they meant what they said. And tonight, Alex will shed some light on this. So, to talk about his new book, Crimes of the Educators, welcome, Alex. Are you there with me?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really extremely glad to do this radio program. I was sent the book, and I really had no idea, you know, what it was about. I opened it up, and it's a book that I've been waiting for years, my brother. This explains, actually, the problem with the educators is what's wrong with our media. The problem with our educators is what's wrong with the immorality in our country. In fact, I can just keep pointing and pointing to the problems that this points out. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, basically the book kind of tries to provide an overview of what went wrong with our educational system. And the argument that we make in the book is that this was deliberate. I mean, everybody knows that education is in crisis today, that government schools are producing, you know, millions of illiterates and charging us hundreds of billions of dollars to do it. But people kind of just assume that it's, you know, maybe a big national accident or something, rather than a deliberate strategic plan that came about 100 years ago, a little more, by John Dewey, to literally dumb down the people of the United States for the purpose of changing America from a Christian, free market-oriented, individualistic, or what he considered to be individualistic society, into a socialist utopia. And, you know, so that's the problem we're dealing with here. These are deliberate crimes. The dumbing down is deliberate. And, you know, the goals are very, very nefarious, the end goal, shall we say.
Well, what is the end goal for the people?
Well, the end goal is to create, at this point now, a global totalitarian system. And, I mean, John Dewey understood that the way to turn America from what it was into a socialist utopia, what he considered to be a utopia at least, was by dumbing down the population. And the key to that was to reducing the literacy of the American people. Back then we were the most literate society in the world. Everybody needed to learn how to read because they needed to read their Bible. John Dewey didn't like that, and he set about to destroy that, and he used a very calculated method that he knew would produce exactly this result. And that was substituting the method that had always been used to teach English, to teach reading and writing, which is the phonetic system. We have a phonetic alphabet, so it's only logical that you would teach that using phonetics, to what they call now the whole word method, or the look-say method, or the sight method. And to summarize it very briefly, what they're doing basically is, rather than teaching children, you know, what the letters sound like and how they work together and how to read the proper way, they're teaching children to read English as if it were Chinese. So they're supposed to look at the whole word and associate it with, a noun or an idea or a thought or something like that. And this is just absolute absurdity, and it was known to be quackery when John Dewey began promoting it. They had done experiments in the 1830s and the 1840s, and it was an absolute and total failure. And so he thought that would be great.
Yeah. Well, he seems to have making great success with it. Let's go with this. Also, the ideal beyond the dumbing down, we find that the ideals that are being given over to our children are, you know, take us away from Judeo-Christian. Isn't that also part of the problem?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the key points that we focus on in the book. And it's one of the many crimes that we identify that are going on in the government schools, and that's destroying children's religious beliefs in the Bible and Christianity. Now, John Dewey himself, he was one of the signers of the original Humanist Manifesto. So, you know, he had a religion, even if he didn't consider that, even if he didn't consider it to be a religion. But, you know, basically replaced worship of God, the Creator, with worship of reason and humankind itself. And, you know, this is absolutely going on in our schools all day, every day, and they masquerade it, say that this is just a, you know, secular education or religious-free education. But that's not the case at all. They're teaching the children religion. It's just not the correct religion, not the true religion. And, you know, this, too, is deliberate. They're teaching children that there is no God, that they evolved from slime that turned into monkeys, that turned into people, and so, therefore, there is no truth, there is no you know, right and wrong. There's just whatever people decide is right or wrong is right or wrong. And we see the fruits of that today. I mean, abortion and homosexual marriage and this society's falling apart. And, you know, this can be traced back to precisely what we're exposing here in this book, a deliberate plan to undermine Christianity, to dumb down the population for the purposes of moving us toward socialism, tyranny, and, you know, kind of a humanist worldview.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I guess I might not be just entirely great on expressing it, but, you know, I've held the views in this book for some time. You know, I know, for instance, in our universities, we send a perfectly good conservative Christian boy or girl to a college, and they have, when they leave, they have Christian values. When they come back, they talk like somebody that we just don't know. And It's because of what has been placed in the universities. But these same leftist universities is, and correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they also what's producing the journalists? So therefore, does that explain why the media is so left?
Oh, absolutely. And all of this is interrelated. We've zeroed in on education just because we feel, you know, this is probably the crucial battlefield for the minds of Americans. I mean, you know, just like you said at the beginning of the program, Hitler and every other dictator in history has always understood that if you want to capture a nation, you need to first capture the minds of its children. And so that's what they plan to do. And that's why, for example, our teachers are all, you know, liberal, socialist, progressives, whatever you want to call them. That's why all of our journalists are liberal, socialist, progressives, etc. And, you know, America was not like this. If people, even 50 years ago, could see what America had become, they wouldn't recognize it anymore. And just imagine, you know, what the founding fathers would think about this. It's just getting out of control. And this road leads straight to destruction. So if people do not wake up and deal with this crisis, deliberately orchestrated crisis, you know, the future is not going to look bright here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Your book's about a few, well, I'm not going to call it too late. I hope it gets widespread reading, but it would have been nice if it would have came out a few years ago. But, you know, like I say, I've been waiting for something to put it all together. And while we talk about the other things, like I said, about the universities and all that, putting the progressive agenda forward and turning out the news media, it still goes back to their education. They had to get it someplace, and that's where it's education. Do you think that all the teachers are, you know, do you think there's some good teachers, or do you think that some of they're just being duped?
There are absolutely many, many good teachers in the government schools. And, you know, even the ones whose ideology and whose views on, you know, God and freedom and these kinds of things I would vehemently disagree with, I don't think that they're, you know, inherently evil, and they're not setting out to dumb down the population and to destroy children. Unfortunately, they've been kind of duped into this. And Sam and I make this case, Dr. Blumenfeld, my co-author, and I, that the teachers are just as much victims for the most part as the students are, because they go to these teachers' colleges. You know, they're indoctrinated into this notion that the only way to teach reading is this whole word, look-say method. They're indoctrinated into, you know, this notion that they need to preach evolution and all kinds of immorality to the students, that the kids need sex education starting from the time they're 5 years old, and they don't know any different. You know, they went to the experts at the university, and that's what they were taught. And so as far as they're concerned, that's how you do things. But, you know, we can see now what the results of this are. It's just absolute chaos, crisis, wickedness, and, you know, it's very unfortunate. But we don't blame the teachers per se. We more focus in on the educational establishment and the people who pushed this. And, you know, this cabal, if you will, has survived up to this day, and you still have key players behind it. You can identify them, people like Bill Gates. The Obama administration, of course, has been huge in all of this. You're talking about fundamentally transforming our country, and make no mistake, that's exactly what they're doing. So, you know, there's groups of individuals who have been deeply involved with this, and their handiwork is what we're seeing all around us now. Baltimore, you know, in meltdown, and this is going to spread.
Right, absolutely. Going back to the teachers for a moment, you know, I don't hold either most of the teachers not at fault anyway, because, you know, they guess what? They went to a university and got educated, and, you know, they're taught you're supposed to believe your teacher. That's how you get a degree, right? So, you know, they were taught themselves. So, you know, they're just believing what they've taught, and it's now that it's a few generations down the road, I don't see how it seems like they have control. And we are seeing the results in the riots and in anti-gay marriage and all these different things in the push against Christianity. Do you think there's any way or hope to turn it back?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the brightest spots on the horizon that Sam and I talk about in our book is just the explosive growth of homeschooling. Parents are, you know, across the country are realizing that this educational system is a fraud or worse, so, you know, a criminal enterprise. And they're taking their kids out of the government school and they're educating them at home. And they're teaching them how to read properly. They're teaching them math. They're teaching them proper history and science and the Bible and biblical values. And so this is hugely encouraging. The estimates are that there's about 6 million homeschooled students in the United States right now, and that number is growing very, very quickly. And, you know, I think this is extremely encouraging. But that's not to make light of the problem that we have here. You know, the Obama administration has been promoting this lunacy called Common Core. And, you know, they have every intention of ensnaring all the private schools and even the homeschoolers in this craziness. And craziness is exactly, you know, the correct term here. Some of this is based on incorrect math. And they're bragging now. The Obama's education secretary is bragging that he's using the schools to turn your children into green global citizens. Now, you know, this is craziness. Parents don't send their kids to school to become green global citizens. They send them there to learn how to read and write and do arithmetic. But that's exactly what they're doing, and they're bragging about it now.
Well, let me ask you this from the point of view of somebody that, and I get the question all the time. Well, they don't, what is Common Core? Explain it to my listeners out there that have just heard the term Common Core and say, well, and they say, well, Jeb Bush is for it. He's a Bush. We like that. Well, do you know what Common Core is? No. Explain to them, what is Common Core? How do you explain that?
I guess the simplest way to explain it is it's a set of national standards. You know, we've never had national standards in this country before, so that in and of itself is revolutionary. And it essentially was foisted on the states by the Obama administration. Now, they had some window dressing that, you know, the National Governors Association helped develop it. And, of course, the National Governors Association is a federally funded lobby group based in Washington, D.C. It's not a state or a coalition of states. It's a trade group. And basically this set of national standards was so terrible that even their own rubber stamp committee, they put two subject matter experts on this rubber stamp committee, the Common Core Validation Committee. One was Dr. Sandra Stotsky for the English Language Arts component, and she refused to sign off. She said, no way, you know, I'm not opposed to national standards, but these are terrible. They're going to reduce the critical thinking abilities of children. We're taking out all the classic literature and the great works of fiction that have come down to us through the ages, and we're replacing it with you know, informational texts. And some of the texts that they give examples of is executive orders from Obama and EPA regulations on the insulation of your roof and this kind of nonsense. And so that's the English component. She refused to sign off, and now she, you know, testifies in state legislatures why they need to get rid of it. On the math side, we had Dr. James Milgram of Stanford, and he too was, you know, not opposed to national standards, but he looked at these and he said, no way, I'm not signing off on this. These standards are terrible. They're not clear. Some of them are based on incorrect math, and this is going to be taking us a big step backward. And so he refused to sign off. So the only two subject matter experts on this committee refused to sign off because they were so terrible. Now, the even more troubling component, I mean, you know, all that is bad enough that we have national standards that are so atrocious even the rubber stamp committee experts would not approve them. But when you put it into a global context here, the picture becomes even more troubling. Now, people don't really realize that UNESCO has quite a bit more to do with education than they probably would have thought. Bill Gates, the chief financier of Common Core, he's also, you know, a big advocate of Planned Parenthood and population control and reducing the population, all kinds of loony ideas, a big financier of the UN. He signed an agreement with UNESCO in 2004 to develop a master curriculum for the world, and UNESCO already had a what they called a World Core curriculum. Now, you know, this ought to be extremely troubling to everybody, and if you look and drill down into what this World Core curriculum is, people would be absolutely shocked and appalled, especially Christians. But, you know, that's the direction they're moving us toward, and UNESCO is now openly bragging. They just put out a report about 2 weeks ago bragging that, oh, when we started our Education for All initiative, there was only like three countries that had national standards and national tests used with those standards. Now there's more than 100, and this is so spectacular, but we still need to do more so that we can have kind of global standardization of education and all humans can have the knowledge that UNESCO believes they need to have. Now, UNESCO has always been very upfront. They want a global humanist society. The current head of UNESCO is actually a communist, believe it or not, a real-life communist, not just, you know, figure of speech. She was a member of the Communist Party in Bulgaria until the Communist Party changed its name to the Socialist Party, and now she's still there. This, of course, was the Communist Party that ruthlessly terrorized and persecuted Christians for decades. And, you know, the guy who chaired the last UNESCO meeting was also a Chinese communist from the Communist Party of China. So these are the people who are trying to seize control of education globally. And Common Core is absolutely a crucial component of all of this. And if you listen, they'll tell you as much. They're not even trying to hide it. Arne Duncan gave a speech to UNESCO in 2012 where he bragged to them. He said, UNESCO is my a global partner in education reform with this administration. And we're doing cradle-to-career reforms. I mean, people should read the speech. It's just absolutely frightening from the perspective of anyone who's not a progressive looney tune.
Yeah, progressive looney tune. I agree. I'm sorry. Progressives are, exactly that. They're lunatics or wacko. Especially environmentalists, I call them wackos, environmentalism, not to get off the subject track, but environmentalism is basically all about control. It's not really about the environment. But anyway, for the people, a lot of people may not understand or know I do, but tell them what the word UNESCO means or, the abbreviations. What is that?
Sure. The UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, and they do a lot of things other than trying to become, the global Department of Education. They're also involved in, seizing control of areas and calling them UNESCO World Heritage Sites and pumping out quack science masquerading as real science. But what we're concerned with here is the educational component of all this. Now, this is, their statements are very clear. They are promoting at the global level this whole word method that, is an obvious failure at this point. And what you said about environmentalism is exactly right. So much of this craziness is coming through under the guise of environmentalism. And I call them watermelons. They're green on the outside and they're red on the inside. And, we had some really good examples of this. Obama created a green jobs czar post for his administration. First time in history we had a green jobs czar. And so who does he pick to be his green jobs czar? Well, he picked Van Jones, the guy who describes himself as a communist revolutionary, a Maoist agitator. And so he was eventually forced to resign after his own statements identifying him as a communist revolutionary were exposed. But, this is what they mean when they say green and when they say sustainable. They mean totalitarianism, central planning, government control over every area of your life, and they're trying to centralize it at the global level. And all of this education reform nonsense that we're hearing about is directed toward exactly that purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a lot of people are shocked to learn that the original green movement, so to speak, you can track it back to Karl Marx as a war against the West, industrialized society. Anyway, so we got 1 minute before break. Where can they find the book? Or I know your website, you write for thenewamerican.com, right?
I do, and a number of other publications as well. WND, The New American, I've written for Crisis Magazine, Liberty Magazine, The Diplomat Magazine, all kinds of things out there. As far as the book, people can get it, if they want an autographed copy, they can get it from the WND Superstore, which is superstore.wnd.com, or you can get a copy on Amazon.com or any of the big retailers, at least online. You can get it through Walmart and Target and Barnes & Noble and these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And we better plug WMD because, number one, I love them so well, but they're the ones that always send me the books in the mail and say, hey, read this, get this guy on. So that's how I found you. They sent me the book and asked me to read it. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes, folks, and we'll talk a little more with Alex.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help, folks. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us that we're now in our 15th year. We'll start our 16th year in June. And that makes this mission church work. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treat it as family. We give people relationships. We get a relationship with them. We can lead them to the gospel. But with a relationship, you can treat people different. And by that, you can get better at their need and help. Anyway, second and beyond that, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. The only programs that I have are radio programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. And if we don't have the way to fill the need, then we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. Folks, we are the very last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're talking about a book called The Crimes of the Educators. It's put out by WND. And I strongly suggest you get this book. It is written by Alex Newman and Samuel L. Blumenfield. And we're talking with Alex, if Alex is still here with us. Are you still with us, Alex?
I am, sir.
Okay, could you, before we go any further, could you tell us a little about your co-author?
Well, Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, he's 88 now, so I'm handling most of the media and the interviews and stuff about the book, but he's been involved in this for 50, 60 years, researching the subject of education. And, you know, he's often credited with being kind of the godfather of the homeschooling movement. He's kind of a legend in alternative education circles, but he did, you know, some amazing research over all that time. He dug out the documents proving, you know, everything that we're discussing today. He focused a lot on John Dewey and John Dewey's efforts to destroy education and to destroy literacy and to destroy biblical values. And he's written 8 to 10 books on education, on this subject, everything from exposing the National Education Association, the big teachers union, to instructional manuals on how parents can teach their kids. And actually a lot of these manuals I have, and they're absolutely amazing for teaching children. I mean, you can teach a kid for $20 in a matter of weeks what the government schools can't do for $100,000 in 12 years. So it's, you know, it's been an honor and a pleasure to work with him. And, you know, he really, really, really knows his stuff.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I'm thinking back to when my 25-year-old son was, you know, first born. And I'm 59, but so I kind of got started late in the game, you know what I mean? But my wife was 7 years old, younger than me, or is, and she decided she was going to homeschool him before he got to kindergarten, you know. And we used Hooked on Phonics. And that boy, when he hit kindergarten, you know, we didn't know he skipped kindergarten. He went right to first grade, and he went in a year early because of his education level. And he was smarter than the other children. Well, within a few years, I had to take him out of school because they were trying to literally dumb him down, and they didn't like the way that, you know, they didn't like the phonic system. Anyway, having said that, so...
Yeah.
But, folks, for the record, for the folks a minute, just here, Alex, folks, if you have a way to get Hooked on Phonics or any phonics program, I strongly suggest you teach your children that. In fact, I had this other look-say thing because I went through college a while back, and they tried to get me to memorize words like that, and I just couldn't do it. Anyway, it wasn't my cup of tea. Anyway, let's move on. You have a chapter in there called Big Brother Data Collection System and the Road to Tortillianism. I think that would be a real good interest if you talked on that a little bit for our audience.
Sure. You know, this is one of the things that concerns a lot of people about Common Core, and I think they should be concerned. What's going on here is, you know, basically they're trying to gather every data point on your child that they can possibly come by, everything from, you know, their religious upbringing to their political views to their parents' political views to their, you know, how many teeth they've lost to their oral health, their mental health, every single thing you could imagine about a kid, the government schools want to know, and then they're transferring this information straight to the Federal Department of Education in Washington, D.C. And this is not as innocent as some people might like to think. They're practically telling us that they're going to be using this information for central planning purposes. And even beyond that, I mean, this kind of stuff would make George Orwell blush. They're going to know everything about everyone at some point. And some of the technology that they're rolling out that the federal government is right now funding and using in certain education programs, I think if I explained it on the radio, people would think that I was, you know, out to lunch because it's just that outrageous. So to give you an example, they have facial recognition cameras where they can tell – kind of the camera can analyze a student's facial expression, and so if the teacher is talking about how wonderful a homosexual so-called marriage is, they can look at the child's face and see how they react and glean a great deal of information about that. Now, this is outlined in official federal reports from the Federal Department of Education. They have a number of technologies like this. And eventually they want to roll them out nationwide. And they're using retina scans, they're using thumbprints, they're using all kinds of technology to identify students using biometric stuff. And then they're adding that together with all of this other information they're gathering on a child's beliefs, on a child's academic performance, on a child's psychological makeup. And they're creating dossiers that are so invasive, I don't think anybody can begin to understand how serious this invasion of privacy is. And as a condition for receiving federal funds, all the states were required to do this. Now, I don't know that every state is participating. There was about 5 states that didn't participate in Common Core. Now, Common Core is still coming in through the back door. But the testing regime is crucial to this data gathering. And, the implications of that ought to be terrifying to everyone. You know, totalitarian governments compile dossiers on all their citizens. Free people have no need for, a centralized bureaucracy that has every bit of information on your child that's going to follow him or her from, as Arne Duncan puts it, cradle to career, and then obviously beyond. And then you add that together with the NSA scandals, the IRS scandals, I mean, the government is totally out of control.
Okay. Number one, I strongly, back in the 90s, I got into the, looking into Bible prophecy and things and George Orwell and all that. The things that people wouldn't stand for back in the 90s, now they just act like it's ho-hum. You know what I mean? And so I have heard about those things, which you're talking about right there. And so some of my listeners has also. Let me go with this. Let me ask you a question. If they're unchecked, if let's say we do nothing, nobody does nothing, what will that classroom look like in 10 years? Any thought?
The regular government school classroom, well, it's going to be 10 times worse than it is right now. It's just going to be practically an indoctrination camp, maybe something like how Communist China runs. Every bit of information will be known, and the implications of that, I think, are just mind-blowing. And you mentioned a really important point here that, 10, 15, 20 years ago, people would have said absolutely no way to this stuff. This is totally crazy. We're not going to accept it. And now we've been dumbed down to the point where, people just accept this stuff as if it was totally normal. When kids can't read, not only can they not read their Bible, they can't read their Constitution. So they don't even understand that, the federal government is so far out of its constitutional bounds that the founders would be recoiling in horror. This is just total craziness. There's no authorization anywhere in the Constitution for the federal government to be involved in education, much less to be dictating national standards, national curricula, national tests, national data gathering regime. This is just total craziness. And if we continue on this path, it's actually frightening to imagine what it's going to look like in 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you actually, to most people, if you actually lifted the veil and looked, like I said, I present news like this on another guy's radio program twice a week, and we talk about it. But if you were to lift the veil and actually look at all the things that they have and that they're trying to implement, George Orwell's book is like something written back in the cowboy days compared to this. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. He would have had no way of fathoming the kind of technology and the kind of intrusiveness that's going on today. I mean, his picture was frightening enough. Multiply that by 10 and you'll get a picture of where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. I also wanted to, before we get close out here, we got a little bit of time. What about the drug usage, ADHD and ADHD? You did a chapter on that.
We did. Yeah, we covered that pretty extensively, because one of the really amazing things is how modern science has confirmed everything that we already knew about the look, say, the whole word method. This is actually producing physical damage in people's brains. Now, you know, the brain, God designed it to function a certain way. When you're dealing with a phonetic alphabet, you know, written language, reading, all these things are supposed to be handled by the left brain. When you're dealing with pictures and images, that's right brain things. And so when the educators are forcing students to use their right side of their brain to, for example, look at words as if they were symbols, like Chinese characters, what you're doing is you're causing actual brain damage. And we can show this using brain scans. Now, modern neuroscience has done experiments testing children who have been subjected to this whole word, look, say, method versus children who learned how to read the proper way. And what you find is that the children who learn to read with this quack, look, say method, they have underperforming left sides of their brains, and that's why it's painful for them to read. So this brain damage, this is actually a physical problem that the schools have induced in the children. Now, this leads to, you know, frustration. The kids going to school thinking, hey, they're smart. You know, they learned their own language in the first years of their life with no help from anybody. They think, you know, that everything's easy. And then they get into the schools, and they're dumbed down. They're taught to read using this quackery. And, you know, suddenly they feel dumb. They feel useless. They don't understand what's going on. So they get angry. They don't want to focus. They don't want to participate in this shenanigans that, at least on some level, they know is harming them. And so they act out. They don't behave. They don't pay attention. And who could pay attention under those circumstances? And so then the schools, rather than dealing with the actual problem, which is what they're doing to the children in the schools, they say, well, you just need hard drugs. And so they'll force them to go to the government psychiatrist, and the government psychiatrist will prescribe them Ritalin or Adderall or even antipsychotics in some cases. And, you know, these are really hard drugs. If somebody were to say you need to give your kid crystal meth, people would say, what? That's crazy. But just because you buy it in the pharmacy because a government school psychiatrist told you to do it doesn't make it any better. This is absolutely criminal. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, too, that there is no biological or objective criteria for diagnosing ADHD. It's not like a broken arm. You go in and get an x-ray, and you have a broken arm. This is how we fix it. These diseases were invented by psychiatrists. They get together, literally. They get together, and they say, okay, I propose that this should be considered a disease, and they vote on it, and they list some symptoms that they think might be associated with the disease that they created. And then they get together with Big Pharma and say, okay, do you have a medicine that you know, might help with this so-called medicine. I use the term loosely. And so you end up with this quack process where you're drugging children with hard drugs to deal with, or supposedly deal with, the problems that the schools themselves are inflicting. And we argue that this is just criminal.
Okay, well, to that matter, let's go with this. You know, I deal with a lot of people. I'm a pastor. I have a mission church. And I deal a lot with teenagers that have been on drugs, you know, before they turned 18, you know, because of this reason. And then when they turned 18, they were abruptly taken off the drugs. And a lot of those same children turned up being meth addicts. You know what I'm saying? They went looking for the drug because they were used to it. So we have addicts being made of the children after they're 18 because of this horrible thing. And it is horrible, believe me. Children don't need these drugs. Let's do this. We come to the end of the book, and you say, future of education, hope remains. I like to leave people with hope. Let's hear that side of it now, and we got about 4 minutes.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity. And basically, you know, like we explained, you know, the whole book is dedicated to exposing this monstrous problem that we have. And it is monstrous, make no mistake. I mean, they're destroying children physically, mentally, and spiritually. And this is just absolutely monstrous. But it's not a lost cause. Now, you know, we could wait for divine intervention, and it might come, and that would be wonderful. But if it doesn't, we need to have a plan B, right? Our plan B.
Well, I believe faith without works is dead. You know, we don't just say, okay, we believe something and sit down on the couch. We are, as Christians, are actually, faith is an action word. We're supposed to act on our faith. We believe by faith that then know this is wrong. We're supposed to do something about it. Go on.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's critical. As Christians, living in the society that we live in, we have, you know, we're supposed to have a constitutional republic where citizens have the opportunity to participate in their government. We're supposed to have self-government. And so we have a duty to try to fix this problem. Now, as parents, you know, right now at this point, there's no quick solution. So what we argue is get your kids out of the government schools now. Homeschool them, you know, find a really good and carefully examined private school, make sure that they're doing things the correct way. Or, you know, there's even low-cost solutions. You mentioned at the beginning of the program, I teach through an online school. There's a lot of that going on now. So there are ways for people to do it. Get their kids out of the government schools. That's huge. But secondly, you know, we can't just abandon the rest of American children to this system that is destroying them. And so we have a responsibility as Christians and as Americans to try to fix this. Now, the first step in the process of fixing this is going to be for people to understand the problem. They need to get over this hurdle that, oh, this is just a big national accident. It's not an accident. Right. It's deliberate. And once we understand that, then we can work on solutions. And as far as solutions go, we argue that you need to get rid of the Department of Education. First of all, it's unconstitutional. That's reason enough to get rid of it. Ronald Reagan wanted to get rid of it. It's totally mainstream. We have no reason to have such a bureaucracy, and it's, you know, dumbing down children all across the United States. So we need to get rid of that and get back to letting local communities establish schools and decide how they should be run on their own, without federal mandates, without federal funding, without federal testing requirements. And, you know, competition, more private schools, more home schools, and the best ideas will rise to the top. And also crucial, we need to get back to teaching children how to read the proper way. I mean, English is a phonetic language with a phonetic writing system. We need to do it the proper way because millions of children are having their brains physically damaged by the schools. And so we need to get that out of the schools as quickly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that another strong, let me add to what you said here. Folks, I think another strong point is, you know, way back when I was young, I remember my mom used to get involved with this kind of thing called the PTA, Parent Teachers Association. Well, they even have that rearranged in most schools where it's a little harder to put, but you can put input. You know, when I did send my other son to school, I like his history book. They sent me home a copy of the extra history book, but I live out in a rural community. They sent me a copy of the history book. I went over the history book and I educated the teacher. We worked out a relationship to where I made sure what my son was learning. And if it was the wrong thing, I said, exclude him from that chapter. It's my right, or I'm getting him out of school. They agreed with it. If you take a forceful stand, you as parents have a larger right than what you even think. So get in. If you have to put them in school and you want to put them in school, well, okay, but find out what they're teaching them. And if you don't agree with it, you need to talk to other parents about it, and you need to talk to teachers about it, and you need to make explanations about it. And you know what? Alex, I strongly urge them to share this book with their teachers, because I believe that the teachers have been dumbed down, that they have been, what would you call it, hijacked? Is that a good word?
I think it's a brilliant word, yeah.
Yeah, I believe the teachers and the education system has been hijacked. The conspiracy isn't there. The conspiracy is at a much higher and a much deeper source. So if you educate your friends and neighbors, especially like here, I live in a rural community, it's an easier thing to educate, but just get involved. There's the big thing. Get involved. And if they're not doing the right thing, get them out of school. But you still need to be involved. And that's not just national elections. You need to get involved locally. That's where it all starts at. Your city council. You need to get involved with your city council. If you can't get elected, then just go to the meetings. Go there, and they'll give you time to stand up and talk. And if you get enough other people doing it, you can do it. It's time to stand up for America. Now, I have, Alex, I'm going to one other thing, and I'll let you close out. One other thing, and I've been saying this on a lot of programs, and I'm going to continue this on this program. For some reason, the American church has started to get silent, and that's because of, I think, politically correctness or whatever reason. But the church isn't being outspoken as it should. If the church was outspoken as a whole, we wouldn't have the problem with homosexual marriage. If the church was outspoken as a whole, I don't think they ever would have took prayer or the Ten Commandments out of the church. But the church is being silent, where prior history, the church has always opened and spoke. The church needs to make their voice heard before it's too late. And if your pastor won't listen, get another pastor. Back to you, and you got about a minute to say goodbye and give your information and all that, brother.
Yeah, that's so much wisdom right there, Pastor. Absolutely. The church is made to be speaking out. Jesus told us, you know, we're the light here in this dark world. We have a job to do. That is to shine the light here in the world. So Christians especially have a duty to get active and to do this. Now, you know, if people don't want to buy the book, that's fine. A lot of the information that we have, you can find the primary source documents yourself. We list them in the bibliography. But go educate yourself on what's going on in the schools so that you can be effectively equipped to expose it and to fight against it. And, you know, your message about getting involved in local government and the school boards and the schools and giving it to the teachers, I mean, that is right on the mark. I've heard from a lot of teachers already who loved the book, who said, oh, my goodness, I had no idea about most of this stuff. So education is crucial. And, you know, as Christians and as Americans, we have a duty to try to fix this issue.
All right. Well, brother, thanks for being on. And once more, we can get the book at an autographed copy at WorldNet Daily. And you write for one of the places, American, the newamerican.com. I'd like to see some of your articles, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep in touch by email, and I'd be happy to send you stuff. So thank you so much.
All right. Well, you be blessed. Thanks for being on.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, the book is called Crimes of the Educators. Through this, like Hitler said, give me your children at 7 years old. Give me your children. They have taken your children. If you have them in a public school, they're taking your children. They're putting in them what they want to be in them. When they come out, why do you think a lot of children are so unruly? But going beyond that, they come out with this, why do you think this millennials, I guess they're calling them the millennials, why do you think that they think so much different than most of us? They're willing to accept liberal things and all of that. It's because the educators are teaching those things in the classroom. They're teaching them that Islam's okay and Christianity's bad. I mean, that's being taught in the school. Multiply that for another 10 years because they really got the foothold right now. Unless we turn the tide back now within the next couple of years, it's over with. It is over with. The Christian church needs to speak up. We need to elect a candidate that will work against this, against Common Core. I love America. I want America to succeed. But you know what? As a pastor and somebody that works in prophetic news and all this, I really think we're too far stuck in the mud. I think Christ is within the time of our return. And I believe that the United States is so far in the mud that it's never going to get out. I could be wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. I pray, but that would the only way that could happen would be a Nineveh-like repentance. And you know what? That the whole nation repented, even the leaders, you're going to get a vomit of fast, right? Okay, even the leaders of the nation and even the animals. Now, do you think that there's going to be that kind of repentance in America? And what do you think America will look like right now if, in fact, gay marriage is done? In fact, there's been several people like Steve Dobson and Mike Huckabee and Billy Graham's son and a whole bunch of them wrote a note to the Supreme Court saying that there was going to be peaceful civil disobedience if they passed the gay marriage being okay in this country, because they say it will tear the fabric of the nation up. You can go to prophecyhour.com and find a link to that article. I strongly suggest you read it. I think it originally came from, the link leads to, I think, WorldNet Daily, so I think you should check over there too. But anyway, we got another good program coming up in a little while. You ever heard of the CERN machine? Wow, that thing could open the gates of hell. We'll be up with an hour with that. But anyway, pray for the the Mission Church. We really do need your help. Right now, we're fixing to go into the summertime, and we always hit a summer slump. So we really could use your help tonight if you can electronically. If not, mail a check or money order, but pray about it. And support airtime, because the more radio that we can get out and airtime costs, the more radio that we can get out, then that's where the donations are coming for the Mission Church. So pray about that. Supporting radio is supporting the Mission Church. Now, you must remember, there really is only one God, and He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the will of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Is that possible for you? You need to do that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one and nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.